The Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which had before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. I have a title for this message. I'm not going to give it to you. Experts will tell you. Preaching experts will tell you it's a good thing to have a title. Stimulates, gets people thinking along a certain line. And then another expert will come along, preaching expert, I'll tell you, you shouldn't have a title. So what are you supposed to do? What I'm going to do is, as far as the title is concerned, is stand in the middle of those two individuals. And I want to ask you, what title would you place upon the message? You may want to wait till the conclusion to make your choice. But I hope by presenting it that way, you'll be thinking, contemplating what the Lord would teach us from this passage of Scripture. John chapter 9 tells us about the man that was blind from his birth, who met a man named Jesus, according to verse number 11. And after he is healed and receives his sight again, pretty much the rest of the chapter is everybody arguing and debating about what happened and was it right and should it not have taken place on a different day and what have you. First thing I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture is this man was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth means he was born without the ability to see. He wasn't able to see for a few years. He wasn't able to see for a few months. He wasn't able to see for just a little bit. He was never able to see. He was born with this affliction of blindness. You and I, we can close our eyes, and because we've had years of sight and years of that blessing, we can close our eyes and imagine what it would be like to lose our sight. And because of these references, we can close our eyes and we can imagine what a tree looks like. We've seen a tree. We can close our eyes and we can imagine or draw up from our memory what the color green looks like, because we've seen this. But this man has never seen a tree. This man has never seen the color green. This man, before he was ever born, was blind. He has no reference point. He is truly a blind man amongst the blind, not having lost his sight after having many references, but never having been able to see. So he couldn't even imagine what it would be like. He couldn't even imagine what a tree looks like or what the color green is. He's never experienced that. He was blind from his birth. Verse number 1 also tells us not only was he blind from his birth, but Jesus passed by. What a glorious thought. When Jesus passed by. I didn't have time to look the song up. I think it's one of the Gaither songs, maybe not. But the words of that song says, when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference. When Jesus passed by. Here's a man blind from his birth, and Jesus passes by. Oh, what a difference this is going to make in the life of this man. This man is never going to be the same again because Jesus passed by. And in the words that Jesus passed by is the thought, Jesus came to where he was. This man could not see. There's no indication that this man was told Jesus was coming. This man was blind, was born blind, and Jesus came to him. Jesus came to where he was. And oh, what a difference it makes when Jesus passed by. Oh, there's so many people here this morning who are lost in their sins, as this man represents to us, who have never been able to see, can't even imagine what it's like to be able to see spiritually, that need Jesus to pass by. And oh, what a difference Jesus would make in your life, my lost friend, if he would come to where you are this morning. It doesn't matter if I come and walk by where you are. It doesn't matter if some famous person, it doesn't matter if the President of the United States or some other significant figure was to pass by you or come to where you are. Not going to make much of a difference. But when Jesus comes by, you're never the same. And all that the Lord would pass by some this very hour. He was blind from his birth, and Jesus came to where he was. And Jesus tells us in verse 2, 3, and 4 that this is for the glory of God. He was blind from his birth. Jesus came to where he was. And in the conversation that was struck up by those around him, Jesus says, this situation, is for the glory of God. This situation is so that I can show you the glory of God. The disciples wanted to know, Lord, whose fault is it that this man is blind? Has this man committed some sin? That's a foolish question, isn't it? Why? He was born blind. He came out from his mother blind. So it wasn't like he had any opportunity to do anything that would cost him his sight. He never had his sight. But they wanted to know, has this man sinned? Well, maybe his parents committed some sin. And we're not going to take any time to consider the fact, but there are things in Scripture that leads us to believe that though God doesn't punish generations to come for the sins of others, sometimes he afflicts people because of the consequences of another sin. So this man is blind. They wanted to know if it was his parents' fault. Could have been. But Jesus says, no, it's not because this man has sinned. It's not because his parents have sinned. It's not the consequences of something that his parents did. But this is for the glory of God. Verse number 3. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and night cometh. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He was born blind, blind from his birth. Jesus came to where his plight was as he sat and as he begged. And Jesus said, this is not because of his sin or his parents' sins, but this man has been born blind, and however long he'd been blind, he was blind for the glory of God. God was going to be glorified in this man's blindness. No one could be said to have caused this man's blindness, but this man's blindness is for the glory of the Lord. Look over to chapter 11 of John. John chapter 11. We find the record of the death of Lazarus, his burial, and his being raised again. And in John chapter 11, verse number 4, Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness is not unto death. Well, it kind of was, because he died. Lazarus wasn't unconscious, he was dead. He was in the grave for 3 days, or was it 4? But Jesus says, the ultimate reason, the ultimate purpose for this man's sickness is not death, but the ultimate purpose for this man's sickness is the glory of God. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 9 concerning this blind man, he says in John chapter 11 concerning Lazarus, all this is happening to Lazarus to bring glory to God. This man's blindness has happened to him and been brought about by God upon this man for the glory of God. How many times have I told you, and how many people remember that I've told you, that Jesus did many miracles. Jesus did an uncountable number of miracles during his time upon earth. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record many. But in the Gospel of John, in the first 11 chapters of John, you find what we identify as seven signs. Seven signs, mostly indicating that Jesus was divine. Jesus was deity. Jesus was the Son of God. He turned the water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He healed the paralyzed man. He fed the 5,000 plus. He walked on the water. He tells us about the man born blind in chapter 11, tells us about Lazarus being raised. These are all unique in that they're not necessarily miracles. They are signs that Jesus was who he said he was. These signs were all given for Jesus to perform, to say, I am who I say I am. And in chapter 8, we saw where Jesus said, been 2 weeks ago now, I believe, Jesus says, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. So these seven signs that we find in the first 11 chapters of the Gospel of John were to identify Christ as the Son of God, was to identify the deity of Jesus Christ, was to leave the world and to leave men without any excuses when they refused to believe in Jesus Christ, when they refused to see him as the Son of God, when they refused to see him as deity. As many of you here today refuse to see the deity of Jesus Christ. Refuse. You can't understand how he could be a man and be God. There are many here who refuse to see the deity of Jesus Christ. You're without excuse. Because God gave seven specific signs to attest to the fact that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Jesus indeed was the Son of God. And in verse 2, 3, and 4, the sixth of the seven signs, the sixth was the healing of this man's eyes and vision, who had been born blind. Seven distinct signs in the first 11 chapters of John. And this is the sixth one we cross paths with in our text. He was blind from his birth. Jesus came to where he was. And Jesus makes it clear, this is for the glory of God. This is the sixth of the seven signs that I'm going to perform to attest to the fact that I am the Son of God. You know, I kind of see in these seven signs Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as God manifest in the flesh. I kind of see God saying here, Look at what I can do. Look at what I can do. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when we look at the creation and we look at the wonder of the creation and all that was involved in the creation, God was saying in the creation of Genesis 1:1, look at what I can do. God did all that. God did all this. Look at what I can do. And in these seven signs, each and every one of them, to a degree, Jesus is saying, look at what I can do. Because this is God doing these things. I am the Son of God. That's why I can do these things. And we see that Jesus can come to a sinner. Jesus can come to a blind man, born blind, and he can manifest himself for what he can do, and he can heal a man of a vision trouble that he's had since before his birth, and he can say, look at what I can do. And I want you to understand, and I want you to try to grasp this. And I know you can't without the aid of the Holy Spirit, and may you receive that aid this morning. But you, my lost friend, you who came into this building today lost and on your way to hell, you know that's your lot. You know that's your course. You know you've never been saved. You know you've never experienced that. Doesn't matter how bad you want it, you know you've never been saved. Oh, that you would understand what it's like to have Jesus come to where you are and say, look at what I can do. Jesus came to where this man was, a man born blind and no remedy, nothing in his imagination could change anything about his lot. But Jesus Christ came to where this man was. And Jesus Christ says, now look and see what I can do. That's what you need, my friend. Amen. Is Jesus to come to where you are and for Jesus to say, now look at what I can do. Jesus can take any life, no matter how wrecked and ruined and how bad and how long it's been there. Jesus Christ can take any life and he can make it beautiful. Amen. He did that for me. Amen. Many years ago. He came to where I was and he showed me what he could do and he saved my soul and he made something beautiful of my life. Do you want that this morning? Oh, I'm too far gone. I'm too much of a sinner. I've been lost too long. I've done this and I've done that. It doesn't matter if you've been born blind and never have that reference point. Jesus can come to where you are, make something beautiful of your life. He made something beautiful of my life, another song. What comes to my mind? Oh, that God would be pleased to come to where you are. And be pleased to come to where you are. Show you what he can do. And make something beautiful out of your life. God's amazing grace can never be overstated. It's truly amazing. Because we're represented by this sinner, born blind. The fact that we're saved is because he came to us. We didn't come to him. We didn't make a decision. We didn't reason this out. We didn't think it out. He came to us. And if you're saved, he made something beautiful in your life. Something beautiful. Some people don't like a God that's sovereign. They don't like a God who's omnipotent, all-powerful. They don't like a God that could have had this man born without sight just for the purpose of pointing to his son. But it really doesn't matter what you like or you don't like. Truth is truth. And until you get over that, you're never going to be made something beautiful. As long as you have these reservations about how you're going to perceive God or how you're going to see God. Until you see yourself a sinner on the edge of dying, going to hell, and you feel Jesus come to you, and Jesus say, look at what I can do, and he opens your eyes to see him and to say, I know this man named Jesus came and gave me my vision. Until he comes to you, make something beautiful in your life, you're never going to be able to make sense of anything. From this passage of Scripture, I have not studied that. I've not looked it up. But we find Jesus saying some things that may very well have been the inspiration for the song, Work for the Night is Coming. Jesus passed by. He saw this man born blind, blind from his birth. He identifies this man as having been planned and purposed by God for the glory of God to point out that he was indeed the Son of God. And he says, after this has all been made, that God should be made manifest, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man work. You remember the song? You see some of these words, these phrases? Work for the night is coming. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done, or when man works no more. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as Jesus is being preached, as long as Jesus is being lifted up, the light is still available. Is the Lord still saving souls like he did this man? Is the Lord still making lives beautiful as he did this man? Is the Lord still answering prayers and saving old wretched sinners that deserve all of hell poured out upon them? Is Jesus still calling to them, see what I can do? Yes, he is. In 2026, he's still coming to where sinners are and saying, see what I can do. That day when the light is gone, that day when Christ is removed, has not yet come. And I would say to you, as I often say from this pulpit, be saved, oh, tonight. As the song says, be saved, oh, today. Work, for the night is coming. I say to you, my friends, I say to you, my fellow church members, you need to go. You need to go and tell sinners that Jesus will come to where they are and make something beautiful of their life, will save their unworthy soul. As we heard in our Sunday school lesson, I contemplated these things and how the Lord works so many times. Why aren't we seeing souls saved? Why aren't we seeing church growth numerically like we did in days gone by. Could it be because we're not going? Could it be because we're comfortable in our life? We're too busy feeling comfortable in our sealed houses. And we want to talk about what we're going to do and what one day we'll get around to. And what we're going to do and what we're going to get around to never happens. And the lost are never reached. And the lost are never saved. And whose fault is that? Oh, the election of God. God is sovereign. Don't let the election of God, the sovereignty of God, remove the fact that you and I are responsible to go to sinners and tell them a Savior has come and He can make something beautiful of their life. I've said it before, and maybe I'm not so sure as I used to be, but maybe I'll say it again. You know how a church grows? Church doesn't grow by the church corporately getting up as one doing something spectacular. The way a church grows is by each one reaching one. Each one reaching one. That's our obligation, is to work for the night is coming. To understand that time is running out and soon Christ and the opportunity to be saved is going to be withdrawn. We need to be going. How many times have you heard it said? I know several times in the course of the last 25 years. You go and you target just one person. Go and talk to them about the Lord. Go and witness them. Go and invite them to church. If God's people will get busy doing what God has called them to do, instead of excusing why they don't do what God has called them to do, if God's people would get busy and get out there and shake the bushes and the brushes and will seek to reach one, you know what's going to happen? That one may never come, but God will bring someone else. Amen. I've seen God do that so many times. Church can go on visitation. The church can go door to door and knocking on doors. And not a single person you knocked on, not a single person you talked to, not a single person you invited to church will come. But God will bring somebody else totally out of the blue. What would happen? What would happen if every single week, every single member of Faith Baptist Church would go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and how He can make something beautiful out of their life? If every member of Faith Baptist Church would go out with the goal of just reaching one, most of those are not going to show up at church, but one or two might. And what will be the effect of all of us going out and being obedient to the Lord and working for the night is coming and telling them that Jesus Christ can make something beautiful out of their life? If we're all going out and trying to reach just one, how many of those is God going to bless by bringing them? Or how many will God bring that we don't invite just to bless us? And how many of those, if we're all going out and we're reaching somebody for Christ, how many out of those is the Lord going to save? And how many of those are going to be added to the church? And how long before this building is too full? I think we underestimate the love and compassion of God for sinners. I think we underestimate what the real purpose of the commission is. The real duty of the commission is not the church corporately doing something impressive, though there is that stage of mission work. But the commission really is about us going out into our Judea, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. And if you'll just reach one person this week, And everybody else here who's a member of this church will reach just one person, invite just one person, get a commitment from just one person to come up. How many of those are going to show up? And how is God going to bless in other ways if we'll just be obedient? We don't use the term, we don't put it on our signage. That's because, as far as I'm concerned, the name Baptist says it all. But I would remind you, I would remind every member of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, we are missionary. Amen. We are missionary Baptists. And mission work begins by each one here reaching someone here, bringing somebody with them to church. When was the last time you just invited somebody to church? When was the last time you committed, hey, if you want to come, I'll come and pick you up. I'll get you there. When was the last time you begged and pleaded with somebody, please, let me tell you about Jesus? Maybe the reason for the dry spell that sometimes churches go through is because we're not going. We're dwelling in our sealed houses. Oh, life is good. You got the good life, don't you? How many times have I said lately, you and I living in the United States of America have a better lifestyle than most of the rest of the world. And we feel so sorry for ourselves. I've got bills. I've got problems. Well, go live somewhere where they're worse and see if you don't learn to appreciate the United States of America. You've got a lifestyle and a quality of life that the world would kill for, and they do. They would die for. Yeah, there's a lot of crooked, dishonest, drug dealing, defile people. But there's a lot of people just trying to get into this country because of what we enjoy every day. He was born blind. It wasn't because of his sin or because of his parents' sin that God was making an example of him. It was for his glory. It was for the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to where he was. And this was all for the glory of Jesus Christ. I am, Jesus Christ said in chapter 8. It's there right there in front of me, but I'm not seeing it. John's gospel lifts up the deity of Jesus Christ. And this is God's way of saying, look at what I can do. I can come to an old sinner. And when I say old, what I really mean to say is old, O-L-E. Because I don't want anybody to think I'm not talking to them because they're not old. Young person, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on the edge, you're on the verge of going to hell. And you need Jesus to come to where you are and make something beautiful out of your life. And I pray that right now, as you sit here, you'll see yourself a sinner. You'll cry out unto God, and you'll feel the presence of Christ coming to be with you, and you'll feel his presence of saving you, making something beautiful out of your life. And I hope and pray you'll make that known. And I hope and pray you'll walk out of the doors of this church changed. Because that's why you're surrounded by people with that testimony. Not because of anything within us, but it's because we met Jesus. And we long that you would meet Jesus also. Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.